Agape is patient today. I'm going to spend two classes on patience. There's a lot that can be said that can be of benefit to us. And I kind of laughed out loud this week when I decided to do that, that some of you may lose your patience with me by the end of next week's class. But I think you'll see the reasoning behind it, because we plan to offer some encouragement so that we can progress in that area of patience. I made the mistake one time of mentioning that I needed more patience and that I was going to pray to God for patience. And my mother, without taking a breath, without any thought, said, "Well, get ready for a tough week." And I looked at her, thinking I understood what she was saying, but then she said, "Well, Gary, you know that the way we develop patience is being in situations that require it." And I says, "Lord, take it back. I take it back." But that's the reality of each of these traits, fruit of the Spirit as well, the ones that are in both categories. We develop patience by being in circumstances and around people that require patience. And several writers made the comment that when the word patient is used in Scripture, it's usually patience toward people, not necessarily toward circumstances. And so it's having patience in circumstances where there are people. And that's just the reality of it. Two metaphors I want us to begin with. One of them is a prism. The suggestion that agape is now presented to us with 15 prisms, 15 colors and hues in that prism as we look at the characteristics of agape. Each of them very unique, but all of them together in this spectrum of agape love. The other metaphor is the one of Paul painting a portrait of agape, which is a portrait of Jesus Christ. It's also a portrait of God. We see each of these characteristics as part of the God that we serve and love, and He exhibits all of these at all times. God is love. God equals love. We saw that 2 weeks ago, and that's just the reality of it. Agape is active. It's not abstract or passive. It's not feeling loving. It's acting loving. It's an active reality. It's practicing patience, and it's simply not having kind feelings, but it does kind things. As we say, patient is then kind. It's doing kind things. It doesn't simply recognize the truth, it rejoices in truth. It's one of the characteristics we'll see. It's very much an active reality as we live out God's love to mankind, as He has lived out His will toward us through agape love. Sometimes it's good for us to see the other side of it as we're trying to determine exactly what is it that we're talking about? Well, agape love is patient, and it's sometimes translated short-tempered or long-suffering. And long-suffering is a rendering that's used many times as it's using the same idea. So it means that we're slow to anger, we're long-suffering, we're short-tempered. That's where we can see and know that agape love being patient is at work. I'm not going to ask you to identify whether you have had a short temper in your life. Chances are we've all had circumstances when we would sometimes, a southern expression, we would fly off the handle. We didn't like something and it was hard to hide it. And our facial expressions, at least, sometimes our words, sometimes our actions would come into play. Patience doesn't do that. It's not short-tempered. It is short-tempered. It's not quick to anger. It's slow to anger. It has a very short fuse. Some would suggest as we grow in this character of God, we have no fuse at all. And that's the mature goal of each person, to where we just don't have to fight a temper. We have the experience and the practice, and our lack of action is more the norm as it relates to people and circumstances around us. I found a verse, Proverbs 14, verse 29, that I want to introduce early, trying maybe to say some things that we've not thought about before, put lessons together. Proverbs 14, 29 says, patient people have great understanding. Patient people have great understanding. And when I have spoken on this subject several years ago now, I used the phrase that patience and understanding ride alongside each other. They ride alongside each other. And then in coming up with that expression that helped to explain what it might look like, I remember two circumstances when we were at the West Broward congregation in Plantation, Florida. There was a younger Spanish-speaking woman, she had some English, sitting in the back of the auditorium. And during the sermon, she kept leaning over and speaking to her elderly mother, who spoke no English, and I was speaking in English. And I knew what was happening because Terry and I had talked to her and she had wanted to bring her mother and we had encouraged her to bring her mother. And you can just interpret for her as best you can so we can get her there. Well, there were several people, about 350 usually there, who I realized were turning around to see who is back there mumbling during the sermon. In their mind, they probably thought it was a fifth grader, a kindergarten student, I don't know. But when they turned around and saw it was a woman toward an elderly woman, they noticed it, seemed to act like they're going to deal with it, but they very definitely had something to say in a kind way afterwards. Impatience, not understanding the situation. See where I'm going? They were then told, the few who made a comment, explained to her why the daughter was interpreting for her mother, and any concerns immediately vanished. Oh, I'm glad she's here. As if to say, keep on. It won't bother me ever again. Patience and understanding travel together. And when they understood the situation, their impatience with it disappeared. And it went on, the interpreting, the mother learning English, the granddaughter, we still have some connection on Facebook with in the military, but a wonderful, wonderful good came from that. The mother baptized, the granddaughter also. Patience with understanding removed the concern that those in that part of the auditorium had. Another situation. We had an elder from the Madison Church come to South Florida, spend about 6 months of the year with us to get out of the winters of the Nashville area. And he would come spend time with us. We really enjoyed having them there and getting to know them. Became very dear friends of ours. But one Sunday morning, he came up to me and says, "Gary, something's bothering me." And I could tell. He says, "That person in the back who didn't take his baseball cap off during worship really bothers me. It's just not respectful." And I called his name and I says, "Well, let me tell you about that person. He has come back from, he lived in New Jersey, came there for the winter. He trained boxers, by the way. He was a boxing trainer for some pretty high caliber boxers. But he had had cancer treatments and he was losing his hair. And when he walked into the building, seeing people for the first time in several months as he had come back to the area, he just was embarrassed and kept his hat on during worship. Patience rides along with understanding." And this good, godly man immediately backtracked all of his concerns, all of his uncomfortable feelings, and he made a point to go hug the individual, welcome him back, and tell him, "I hope the treatments go well." Now, if you hear patience rides along with understanding, it may ring a bell and remind you of what it looks like, how it acts when it's happening in your life. Those were never issues again as people came to figure out what's happening. A mother translating for her non-English speaking mother for a while, and a young man embarrassed about losing his hair because of cancer treatment. And he was back in the area, and it was the first time people would see him. It's the way Christians act. And the understanding helps us to act properly. Whatever the situation with that individual might bring to bear. Terry uses the expression, we need to extend grace and mercy. If there's something that you see and it's starting to trouble you, extend grace and mercy. And seek understanding to put two things together. And the guess is, most of the time, the impatience will vanish. It will vanish because those are things that help us. When Jesus was on the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." That statement has troubled me over the years until I finally figured out what was being said. Because on the day of Pentecost, Peter condemned those who murdered Jesus, and they repented and were baptized for their actions on his behalf. But what Jesus seems to be saying to me, as far as he's concerned, "Father, I'm forgiving them. I'm forgiving them because of their ignorance, their lack of understanding for what's happening." Stephen did something similar. He was the first Christian martyr, stoned for his speaking up on behalf of Jesus Christ. But as far as he was concerned, "I forgive them." But are they still guilty of murder? Acts 2, yes. Acts 7, yes. They killed a person. It was murder. But as far as he was concerned, as far as Christ was concerned, there was forgiveness as far as his words to his Father. That's the way I see it and understand it. when you put Acts 2 pointing right back to the Pharisees who had crucified the Son of God. Here is the statement by Robert Ingersoll, a well-known atheist of last century history. He would stop in the middle of his lecture against God and say this, "I'll give God 5 minutes to strike me dead for the things I've said." And then he would then use the fact that he was not struck dead as proof that God did not exist. Now tell me the fallacy with the statement and the reaction to the lack of activity. How do we explain it? 2 Peter 3:9, God is patient, not wanting any to be lost, wanting all to come to repentance. God's patience is what allows Him to allow the worst of sinner to still be alive upon this earth. A whole generation of people, in some regards, most of a whole country of people. How do we explain it? God's concern for their soul and His patience wanting them to come to repentance. So Ingersoll was really not understanding God, but he didn't believe in Him, so maybe that's explained. But his statements showed a lack of understanding about the patience and the love of God. Agape patience, that's what that looks like. And 2 Peter 3:9 says it for us. Terry, you're in the wrong seat, by the way.
And God doesn't take direction from us.
Oh, no.
And He may listen to the prophets who are speaking for Him to have a relationship with Him. And when they ask this or that. But this man didn't have a relationship with God.
Well, God doesn't take direction from us. Ingersoll did not have a relationship with God, for those watching online. But bottom line is, it's a lack of understanding. Why is it we sometimes don't act out toward others who've said or done something that they should not said or done? Why is that the case? Because of our agape patience. Maybe we want to wait for a better time to talk to them so that it will be heard and appreciated rather than say it in the middle of a crowd. Develop a relationship, then you've earned the right to critique. If you haven't earned the right, it's not going to be received very well. Agape patience looks for the right time to say what needs to be said, but it's certainly not quick-tempered. It's not quick to anger. And that's at the very root of the meaning of the word. It suffers a long, 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 long time. And that's what it looks like too. No matter what evil or injury has been done by a person, no matter the neglect or the ignoring by a loved one, it's a rhinoceros-skinned Christian, one person suggested, again, to develop a picture of it so as to best understand it. Thick-skinned. It means that you can not act out or overreact, and it's handled better in that way. And that's what some of this is talking about. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. And if you study those, I don't have it in my plans for a while, maybe not while we're here, but those build on each other. So do these. These will build on each other too, and we're going to let them in the month of July. They will build on each other. Agape, first and foremost, has to be patience. But patience is followed by kindness, and there's a reasoning for it. And we'll see it when we get there. But Patience and understanding travel together. Listen to these verses. A man of understanding holds his tongue. Proverbs 11:12. Proverbs 17:27. A man of understanding is even tempered. Proverbs 24:3. It takes wisdom to have a good family, and it takes understanding to make it strong. Patience and understanding travel together, and they live together, and they make the temperature in the room to be very different. I hadn't thought about it. I think agape is this way, but patience too, in principle. What's the difference between setting a thermostat and setting a temperature? What's the difference? A thermostat? Say it again. A thermostat, a thermometer, yeah, but the temperature of a room. If you set a thermostat, it's going to set it to a temperature and keep it there. It's notorious, especially in Florida, for people when we first moved to our new building to want to walk up to those two thermostats on either end of the half-circle auditorium and turn it back because they walked in and it was warm. And what do? Sometimes we race the thermometer 2 or 3 degrees back or 2 or 3 degrees forward instead of 1 degree. The thermostat sets an even environment. It's not high, it's not low, it's monitored, if you will, which is the best way, and it's the economical way. It was tempting at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, when it's hot and humid right now in Florida, to walk in and say, it's cold in here. But 73 degrees compared to 86, it's always going to feel what? Cold. There's no way to keep it from feeling that way. But once you come in and once you sit down, you're going to find out, hey, it's pretty okay. It's pretty comfortable. The contrast will always be there. And life is that way too. Let's attach the metaphor to a congregation. Out there, it's 89 and high humidity. When they come in here, what should it be? A moderate, regulated environment with agape patience in place. Agape patience in place. We have discovered something and we are thoroughly enjoying it. If you don't have the faith and family package on your cable system, I'm not sure you can go back and get it, but Tony Ash, a longtime member of the body of Christ, taught at Abilene for many years, is doing an 8-part, 33-minute presentation of C.S. Lewis's major works. And it is so, so interesting. He looks at who he was, and then the Screwtape Letters. We watched The Problem of Pain the first of the week and The Great Divorce last night. It's just really good stuff. But he talks about what it is out there compared to what it should be in here. And Lewis speaks to that type thing in some of his writings. The Screwtape Letters, the tempter speaking to Wormwood is wanting Wormwood to realize that the best way to sometimes lead people astray is not to confront them, but to let them be satisfied with less. Let them be satisfied with less. And what he said in that is that if you change their thinking here, it could progress and they could grow toward the Creator, the enemy, in the book. What he's doing now, if he would just stay there, it can be okay. It can be okay. Don't let him think about it, lest he move further toward the enemy, which of course is God. It's all the difference in the world when you come to realize it. History tells us something. It's amazing to me when I heard this a number of years ago. Some of the History Channel, Smithsonian Channel depictions of Abraham Lincoln. But Fosdick was one of his greatest critics. He called him a low, cunning clown. He said Lincoln was the original gorilla, speaking to his looks. And he said that Duchilla was a fool to wander about Africa trying to capture a gorilla when he could find one so easily at Springfield, Illinois. Lincoln never reacted in a short-tempered way. He maintained the character that seemed to be who he was. And when Lincoln was elected president, he named Stanton his war minister. He put him in the cabinet, which is amazing. Would you have done that? I would not have done that. Someone who was so verbal and hateful, but he drew him alongside and made him part of his cabinet. And it's the agape patience that we can see and maybe understand. Turn to Romans 2, verse 4. The statement is made about God writing to the Pharisees on that occasion. And Paul makes a statement in the context of several things he's about to say in that great chapter, Romans 2. Verse 4, "Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" I started to wait until we talked about kindness in 2 weeks, but forbearance and patience are part of that question. Here's what he's suggesting can sometimes take place. There are those who need to make drastic changes in their life. They need to come to God. They need to repent. And he's suggesting, and the Pharisees being accused of it, to see the kindness and the forbearance and the patience of God, and instead of your appreciating those three characteristics of God and moving toward repentance, you use them as if to suggest, I don't need to do anything. God is patient with me. He's forbearing toward me. He's kind toward me. And what does 2 Peter 3 tell us? His patience is waiting for one more person to come to repentance. One more day, people will come to repentance if he does not come back today. I'm thankful that he had not come before six, I think Stephen told me, six baptisms at camp occurred this week. I'm thankful for that. Seven, okay, I misunderstood the number. I'm thankful for that. But if we think God's kindness, patience, and forbearance gives us a guarantee of more time, we're abusing those precious, godlike characteristics. It ought to lead us to repentance. And some people, it does not. It does not. And Paul is making that clear. Romans 9, verse 22. What if God, although willing to demonstrate His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? The same principle. There are people that deserve spiritual destruction. They're vessels of wrath. But what does God do? How does God act toward them? He doesn't demonstrate His wrath with those, Romans 1 verse 12, verse 18, those who refuse to acknowledge the truth about God. He doesn't reveal His wrath quickly toward those individuals, but does He use that circumstance to show His power? I can do this. I have this kind of power. Or does He exhibit patience toward individuals? What are we thankful for? A God who wants to show His wrath and His power, or a God who's patient with the wicked to give them opportunities? See what it's saying? God's patience. And it's what we should see. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, to read fully 2 Peter 3, verse 9, and add 15 to it. But is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Verse 15, and regard the patience of our God to be salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to wisdom given him, wrote to you. Patience allows change for those who need it. But it can be abused. They can depend upon it and never respond to that which they should respond to. And they would die in their willful sin. Patience. Misunderstood. Another writer, patient keeps a slow burner. It keeps a slow burner. Some would suggest there's no burner at all. Patience doesn't have a fire under it at all. But the other gets our attention. It also isn't naive. Doesn't ignore misbehavior. It just keeps the flame low. It waits. It listens. It's slow to boil. This is how God treats us. And it's how we should treat others. It's how we should treat others. So, again, an application using a metaphor. Matthew 18 uses the word also. A man had a debt that he could never have repaid. And in that setting, he goes to the king and says, "Be patient with me and I will pay it all." And the first is a request, the other is something that could not have happened. The debt was too much. $10 million, if we put those denarii into the modern coinage, if you will. But the king was filled with pity, verse 27, and released him and forgave his debt. What happened to the man when he leaves the presence of the king? Someone comes up to him. They owe him, it's differing between $10 to $18, and he refuses to forgive the debt and has him cast into prison. $10 million compared to $10 to $18. One is forgiving, he is not. And of course, we see the end of the story. The king hears about it and does what he could have done in the first place. Patience. Patience. It's given to us. We need to be just as quick to give it to others. It needs to be one of the buzzwords when someone would see us and think of us. It's one of those buzzwords. It's agape patience. It needs to be who we are. Your comments. Additions. Contradictions. Where did you learn patience? If you can share it. But can you think of a time in your life when people were around you and you had to bite your tongue a lot? Another idiom. You had to just bite your tongue so you would not say what you could have said. Mike?
This just came to mind. Shortly after we had moved here to Vallejo, then the kids were little, like preschool age. And so we're going to plant rose bushes in front of the house. You know, take out the old and put these, because we had just moved in. It was special. So, you know, and I was younger at the time, of course. I was like in my 20s. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, you know, we just get this job done like we do at work.
Yeah, start and finish.
I realize I'm getting ahead of the kids are just getting pushed aside.
They weren't helping any longer, huh?
So I can get this done. Yeah, but at least it did dawn on me that I have to slow down, let them, you know, help out, and we did it together. And
yeah.
Thank God the light bulb went on before too long.
Yeah. Mike shared putting rose bushes in years ago, young children, they got in the way. He was ready to push them aside, and he realized, wait a minute, I want to do this so they can help. So in impatience, the light bulb went off. He helped slow down, let them help. We have a rose story when we moved to Mentor, Ohio, 23 miles east of Cleveland. There are supposed to be more roses in that city than most places in the world. That's what they said. We had roses in our front yard, and we thoroughly enjoyed them because we do not have a green thumb. And one day we opened the front door, and this deer, his back was about this tall, his head was up here, and he was right smack in front of the front door eating our roses. And we decided we didn't care about roses. We enjoyed seeing the deer. And we would have three or four or five show up in the backyard from time to time. I would take pictures of them. No roses back there, but they would appear, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. It's determining which is more important to you and backing down, if you will. Sometimes there's good lessons there as well. Let me read you Matthew Henry's comment about verse 4 of chapter 13. Long-suffering can endure evil, injury, provocation without being filled with resentment, indignation, or revenge. It makes the mind firm. It gives it power over the angry passions and furnishes it with a persevering patience that shall rather wait and wish for the reformation of a brother than fly off in resentment of his conduct. It will put up with many slights and neglects from the person it loves, and wait long to see the kindly effects of such patience on him. What's he saying more than anything else? They notice, and it can have an effect. And they're surprised. My words, people sometimes are surprised at how we don't do the things that he's just described. That's not part of our response. Our actions are reaction. And it can have an effect on people. It can have an effect. The Corinthians, chapter 11, were so unbearable toward each other that they literally would not wait for some who would run late to start their meal and to observe communion. They just had no patience, and they will not wait for those who should have been there already, who could have been there already. And you can just hear the thoughts and the words and see the reaction. Chapter 6, he has to correct them about taking brothers to court. And we talked about that several weeks ago now. Taking people to court instead of being patient with them for whatever might have been. Colossians 3:13 puts the principle in the midst of two or three other things. Often we hear people say, I wouldn't put up with that. And the verse says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And we take that to say that God will forgive us on the judgment day based on how we've forgiven others in a given day. It's the standard that will be used. And if we believe that and we better, won't we be the most forgiving people that you've ever seen? Because we need it. And being forgiving toward one another, bearing with one another, long-suffering, the implication, our long-suffering toward each other. I told you, tongue-in-cheek, that I want us to spend a little more time next week on it. I'm going to test your patience. You may feel next week that we don't need any more on patience. Well, remember what I've told you today. There's a few practical points that I think we can make on how we can develop patience, how it can be easier for us in our life. We don't know who said this. It's listed in quotation books as anonymous. But it says, control yourself. Anger is only one short letter from danger. One letter difference from anger and danger. And that certainly is true. Thank you.